scripture passage today is from Philippians 2, and we read verses 1 to 9. Paul writes, "Therefore, if you have any encouragement from being united with Christ, if any comfort from his love, if any common sharing in the Spirit, if any tenderness and compassion, then make my joy complete by being like-minded, having the same love, being one in spirit and of one mind. Do nothing out of selfish ambition or vain conceit. Rather, in humility, value others above yourselves, not looking to your own interests, but each of you to the interests of the others. In your relationships with one another, have the same mindset as Christ Jesus, who, being in very nature God, did not consider equality with God something to be used to his own advantage. Rather, he made himself nothing by taking the very nature of a servant, being made in human likeness. And being found in appearance as a man, he humbled himself by becoming obedient to death, even death on a cross. Therefore, God exalted him to the highest place and gave him the name that is above every name." It is with this letter of Paul written to the Philippians in mind that I want to start by asking you two questions today. The first one is, what is the earliest memory of love in your life? Who was it with? Where was it? What happened? A lot of research has been done on the effect of the first experience of love in a person's life. So much so that people are saying that the way you receive love determines how you give it. And it's claimed that if you did not receive love from an early childhood and a healthy way of love, the part of your brain that is necessary to develop, to give or show love, will not develop completely or healthily. So I want to ask you a second question with regards to this. And this is a question that takes your interactions with your family into account. It's a question that takes your interactions with your colleagues into account. It's a question that has to do with your friends, and it's a question that has to do with all the relationships of your life. And the question is, how are you giving love right now? How do you currently share or give love in your life to others? And I'm sure our answers will be different because our experiences of love are different. And I'm also sure that the way we give love has changed a lot for us in the last year or so due to the world pandemic. So we've had to, and I still think to some extent have to, find new ways to give love in times like these. And it's with this in mind that we open our lives to God's word through Paul in Philippians. And Paul shares with us today's good news. That in times like these, there's a love, there's a life of love that we can get to know so that we can give and share it in spite of challenging circumstances. And he shares with us the path, the way to this love and this life of love. And I'd like to invite you to look at some of these words in his letter again with me. He writes in verse 3 and says, "Do nothing out of selfish ambition or vain conceit." And with these words, I think Paul is identifying a gap. He realizes that there's a way of life that develops when there's a gap, there's a hole somewhere in our lives. All of us, have not received the love that we need. Even if you grew up in a very loving home, there are dimensions and experiences of love that you did not receive, that you might think, I need that. And it has a great and enormous effect on how we give love. And often, When we have a shortage of something in our lives, that longing plays out, the longing to find it and to experience it plays out in different ways in our lives. And so if I don't get it, or because I did not have it, I'll do anything and everything to get it, whatever it is. And in today's context, love. And so I'm trying to fill this gap. And sometimes this void, this gap, puts on the jacket of self-obsession, a selfish way of life. So I start giving love for my own gain. I give love so that I can receive to fill this thing. And from an early age, we are conditioned towards the needs of the self and this gap. I realize I need food, I need protection, I need toys. And then I need someone to be able to give it to me. So it's important what these people think and say about me. Otherwise, they won't give me what I want. And I start doing things to impress them or use them so that I can fill this void so that they can give me what I need. And there needs to be an awareness that I can get to a place when I'm in this cycle, when I'm trying to fill this void, this gap, that I become so preoccupied with my own needs and interests that I become totally turned towards myself. That's what selfishness, a selfish life is. And that's what sin is. The reformers said years ago that sin is when the self is curved inward. It's curved towards itself. And now Paul says that the deep motivation behind a life of selfishness is ambition. It's honor. And that's the word there is doxa. It's also the word that is translated to glory or being exalted. It literally means value and importance. And we all long for importance or glory. We all want to be exalted in a way. But this life, this way of life doesn't work. Paul knows that a selfish life does not work. It destroys relationships. It destroys marriages. It destroys teams. It's not going to give you the honor, the exaltation you are looking for, because there's another kind of life that you were made for. And Paul invites us in verse 5. To become aware that we have a path to this life, to this life of love, a life that is not self-centered and selfish. And we have an example of this life. And that example is Jesus Christ. He says, if you want to know, if you want to get there, look in the direction of Jesus. He says, in your relationships with one another, have the same mindset as Christ Jesus. So this is the invitation. Let your life take the form of Jesus' life. Look at him. See how much he loved, how he gave love. And time and time and time again, he gave. Just that letter, that part from verses 6 to 11 in Philippians 2. It's almost written like a poem or a song. And just interestingly enough, that is the first worship song that we know of that was sung in church. Those words. And in these words, Paul says, Jesus gave himself fully in love. He gives up his divinity. He gives up heaven. He gives up his status and he becomes equal to a human being, a slave. He gives himself and surrenders himself until death, unto the cross. And you know that the importance, the exaltation, the glory he receives is not from himself, but from the fact that he gives himself fully in love. Verse 9, therefore God exalted him to the highest place and gave him the name that is above every name, because Jesus gives when he touches people, when he heals the sick, when he frees people from evil, feeds the hungry, welcomes the sinners. He gives love in so many ways. And maybe we can just look at a few ways that Jesus shared and gave love. I think of Zacchaeus, the tax collector in Luke 19. In those days, tax collectors were not the favorite people in the community. They were the lowest of low. Children would spit on them as they walked past a tax collector. And Jesus comes into the city and he sees Zacchaeus. Zacchaeus climbs up into a tree and he says, I want to go to your house today. Jesus gives love by paying attention. Jesus gives love by seeing Zacchaeus, the man. Jesus gives love by showing mercy to someone that is an outcast. The story of the woman in John 8 who commits adultery. Maybe you remember her story. I can just imagine what happened in those moments. She's taken to a public space, a place, and there's a group of people who wants to stone her because that's what the law says happens to people who commit adultery. And Jesus looks at these events. He looks at this woman. He looks at this group and he tells the group, the one who has no sin, you throw the first stone. And one by one, the people who wanted to judge her walks away. And Jesus writes something in the sand and he looks at this woman. And I wonder how did he look at her? What did she see in his eyes? Love, forgiveness, compassion. Jesus gives love. A last one. In Mark chapter 1, there's a leper. And he's probably walking around with a bell around his neck because in those days, lepers had to wear a bell to warn people in the area that this person was unclean and entering into the perimeter. And he was not allowed to go to the temple or the church. And he came to Jesus and said, Lord, if you want to, I know I don't deserve it, but if you want to, cleanse me, heal me. And what does Jesus say? He looks at this man and he says, I want to. And Jesus gives love through healing. He gives love by hearing this person's deepest desire. He listens to him and he responds. Can you get a feel of how Jesus gave love? Paul invites us, have the same mindset, follow his example. That's the invitation. And it's so practical because following Jesus is always practical. And Paul again makes it so, so practical for us. And he says this, that part, verse 4, I think that's for me, that is the first step into a life of giving love. Because, and it's so simple. He says, rather, in humility, value others above yourselves. Don't just look to your own interests only, but each of you to the interest of others as well. That's such a small step, but it has an enormous effect. Just pay attention. Just look to the interests of others. Now, Paul is not saying that we should not be interested in our own lives. He's just saying, do not just think of your own. You can either live selfishly or you can realize there's a life that is more than just my own little world and interests and needs. And I can start paying attention to others. So start by paying attention. You can give the gift of love by just being aware, stopping. At the mall or church, when you run into someone you know and you ask, hey, how you doing? Stop. Wait for the answer. You know, sometimes I run into someone and even before I have an answer to the question, we've walked past each other. And now, you know what? I would have missed Zacchaeus in the tree if I was there in the story in the gospel. Stop. Pay attention. At work, pay attention to your colleagues. You know, I wonder how she's doing. I hope he's doing well. I hope it's not just me. It's not I'm not the only one that wants to do well. I hope that he does well as well. During the week, I had a conversation with one of my colleagues. And we were talking about a lot of things, you know, how it's going, what's happening in life, what's challenging at the moment. And at the end of the conversation, my colleague asks me, so what do you need right now? And I cannot tell you what happened when this person asked me this question and I realized that they really meant it, that they are really interested. And I could tell them and I could ask it back, this question. I could hear what this person needs as well. And I went into the week with an awareness that this person's life is, he's walking with interests on his heart. And they're going through things. But I also know that they have an awareness of my interests and what's on my heart. And I think that's what Paul means in the first few verses of his letter when he speaks about there's a common sharing, because I don't have words for it, but there was something there. Maybe your love language has always been to share quality time with others. And in these changing times like these, you think, I can't do it anymore. Because of lockdown, I was in face of family members 24/7. That was hard enough. Or my loved ones are away. I couldn't get to them. My parents are in old age homes. I'm not allowed to visit or spend time. You know what? There's other ways. There's other ways. You can spend quality time by listening, whether it is on the phone or whether it is in person, at home, when your husband or your wife comes home after a long day, listen to their day's events. Make the quality time, even if it's just 10 minutes every day, that adds up to 70 minutes that you wouldn't have had. Set it aside intentionally to talk to one another, to connect. To your children, stop. Listen. Make time when they start sharing their heart with you. Maybe your love language is words of affirmation. You know, and you think, I'm struggling to give love because I used to do that when I have a coffee with a friend or when I go visit them. Or no, you can give love. You can share it through a call, a message, an email of appreciation. Maybe you show love through deeds. You think, I can't give anyone a gift anymore. Yes, you can. Have the gift or the package delivered. You know what might seem like such a small deed to you can mean so much more to someone else. It can be so big for someone else. And there are so many ways. I need to end. I read an article this week from a study by the University of Georgia about the effect of the pandemic on relationships in general. Not just romantic relationships or relationships. And one of the biggest findings is that what is happening at the moment is that the way people receive love is more important than ever. People's well-being, their mental health depends more than ever on how they receive love in their relationships. And they found in their studies that the more I'm heard, the more I realize this person is interested in my needs, the more I experience appreciation, the happier I am. And the easier it is to adapt into this changing world, to stand on my own feet, find myself, express myself. Now this, I don't know about you, this makes this invitation to share love and the possibilities to give love in times like these just so much more. And my prayer today is that we will follow Jesus more than ever. That we will learn from his example, that we will grow, that we will, our lives will be shaped and transformed from self-centeredness to other-centeredness, and that we will start giving the life and the love as he did. And Lord, that is the prayer of our hearts, that you will give us wisdom and insight and opportunities to share your love. Thank you that we can love because you first loved us. And thank you that we can follow you in that, Jesus, that you show us so many ways, regardless of the circumstances we find ourselves in. We want to learn, Lord. We want to live and enter into this life. Lord, I know that some of us are here and we are experiencing tension and hardships in our relationships. And I pray, Holy Spirit, that you will come and show us, give us creative ideas on how to deal with those problems and struggles and how we can give love in new ways. Lord, you know that none of us have received the love that we need. You know the brokenness each one of us sits with. And I pray that you will bring restoration and healing and that you will give us what we need, Lord, so that this gap that we have, the void in our lives, that you will fill that, Lord, with your love. Your love that covers a multitude of sins and brokenness. Lord, transform us. Help us to live beyond ourselves and our own interests. And thank you. Thank you that we can respond to your invitation and share in your life and your love. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Receive the blessing. The love of God our Father, the grace of Jesus Christ, and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit remains with us all. Amen.